Tonight, Shir on Inyane of Sukkos. Tafshinayin Gimel. Pasuk says in Parshas Emor, L'kachtam lechem b'yom rishon priyitz hadar v'chule. Famous Midrash quoted, and that is where the Midrash asks, L'kachtam yom rishon, is v'chi rishon hu? Is it the first day of the month? Not the first day of the month. Hello, tesvav hu? It's the 15th day of the month, 15th of Tishrei. So what does the Pasuk mean when it says L'kachtam lechem b'yom rishon? It's rishon l'cheshban avonos. It's the first day of the cheshbon of our sins. So one of the questions asked is, why is Dafka Sukkos chosen to be the day which is the first day of the counting of our sins? So I saw an interesting pshat this year from the Admor Tifer Shlomo Radomask. It says the following. It says that Yom Kippur went by, and unfortunately a certain amount of averas were stacked up Klal Yisrael had, and the Katigor Shemayim says, oh, look at all these averas Klal Yisrael have. So what does the Sanigor say? The Sanigor wants to help us out and says, Klal Yisrael, okay, it's not their fault. It's the Yetzer Hara, makes them do all these averas, this avera, that avera, makes them look at them as avera as if it's really a mitzvah, or tells them that this avera is not so bad, and they're kind of naive, they're naive people, they're tamimus, they don't understand the cunningness, slyness of the Yetzer Hara, and they get very easily, swept into this. So along comes the Kategor, and Tainas is not so. What do you mean? You're telling me these Jewish people are naive? Come on. He says, look, they're the most shrewdest businessmen there are on the planet. And they're naive people. So the Sanhedrin says, okay, fine, let's see. Let's go out into the Shuk. Now we're after Yom Kippur. And let's see. So they go out into the Shuk. And what do they see? The guy buys a lemon. He pays 200 shekels, 300 shekels for this Ezra. Buys a piece of wood, 300. He says, you see these people? I told you they're naive. Look what they're doing. They're paying all this money for these things, fruit and wood and bushes. And I told you. So that's it. Winning Taina. So Mela, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives us for our sins. Because he says, we're a bunch of naive people who are paying all this money for these things. So Mela, along comes Sukkos, therefore that's the Rishon Cheshbon Avonos. After we went through these days of purchasing our armor, meaning and spending so much of our hard-earned money for him, he looks as if we're naive. Mela, we come along in on the first day of Sukkos, we're a little bit nesser, we show, look, see? And Mela, the Katigor, gets shut up. So it comes out that when people saying, wow, we're paying a lot of money for these things, it comes out it's for our good. It's a sunny good, right? We need to pay all these money for the good. That helps us out. That helps us erase our errors. Another idea from this midrash you mentioned, and it's Rishon L'Cheshbon Avonos. But also they ask, what do you mean, Pashup Shah, Rishon L'Cheshbon Avonos? Sounds like that, okay, after Yom Kippur we're clean, and only time we had our averas come back, we start doing averas, is first day of Sukkos. Is that true? That's the Rishon L'Cheshbon Avonos. What, between Yom Kippur and Sukkos, those 4 days, whatever, there's no averas? So some Pashut, most simple answer that people give is, we don't do very many averas because we're so busy with finding our Arba meaning, building our Sukkah, whatever, these mitzvahs, that we don't have time. Like I always said, probably the most busiest day of the year is Erev Sukkot. Running around this, getting that, making your Arba meaning, putting it together, finishing your Sukkot, non-stop from morning till night. So that's, therefore, as finally Sukkot comes along, everything has to be done by then, and then it's Rishon L'Cheshbon Avonos. But the Rav Miastrovtza is a little different idea. He says, Yom Kippur, we did Tshuva. We did Tshuva Mi'ira. So doing Tshuva Mi'ira, it takes our averas that we did intentionally, our zonas, and turns them into shogeg, unintentional, which is good, but it's not the ultimate. Along comes Chag HaSukkos, they say that's the bechina of Tshuva Mi'ava. of this love that we have for Kodesh Baruch Hu, for his mitzvahs, and the tshuva on Sukkot, that's tshuva miyav. And what happens when a person has tshuva miyav? It says the Gemara, it takes our zdonos, our intentional, and turns them into schuyos. Mele, he says, that's the Rishon L'Cheshbon Avonos. Until Sukkot, we had Yom Kippur, but we still had our averes. They just maybe turned into shogeg, but they were still there. Along comes Sukkot and cleans everything up, takes all the averes and even the zdonos and turns them into mitzvahs. So now we're left with no averes. Mele, Sukkot is the Rishon L'Cheshbon Avonos. Question. Okay. The idea of Sukkot being a Zman of Tshuva Me'ahava, Rav Avraham Palm Zatzal, he used to have a sign outside his Sukkah. And he used to say the following, L'fi Shekdusha Sukkah G'dola Me'od. Since the Kedusha Sukkah is so great, Ra'ui Shalola Daber Ba'ki'im Divrei Kedusha V'sara. It's proper that you shouldn't speak in the Sukkah anything except Divrei Kedusha and Torah. The Kol Shekein Chizahem Lidaber Sham Lashon Hara Rechilos Ushar Dvarim Masurim. And certainly, you should be careful not to speak in their Lashon Hara, Rechilos, and other things which are asked. Kol Shekein. And Rav Shimshon Pinchas Zatzal, he wrote on his Sefer of Sukkot, he says he was reminded that once he was in a shul for Yom Kippur, and came time, it was Musaf time, and came down to bow down for during Musaf, and everybody bows down, puts their head down for a Kohanim Ve'am, etc. And he noticed that the corner of his eye, people put down a towel or whatever it is, they shouldn't be bow down to the bare floor. So he sees this guy, he didn't bring a towel into the shul. What did he use to bow down? A newspaper. Okay, so he takes the newspaper, puts it down. And then when he bows down, and he bows down, and Pinchas sees he's reading the newspaper. He's bowing down, he says, oh, interesting article here. And as he's bowing down, he's reading the newspaper. Right? He says, now, imagine if we ask this guy after, he says, how could you do that? So what did he probably tell you? He says, it's a kosher newspaper. There's nothing bad thing, it's a kosher newspaper, one of the Haredi newspapers ever. What are you going to say? Okay, it can be the most kosher news, but this is not no time in the middle of Yom Kippur to reading newspapers. Mele, he says, if that's reading newspaper in Yom Kippur, he says, call Shekain in the Sukkah. He says, the Sukkah, as we said, is a mitzvah amount of tshuva mi'ava. It's a tremendous ava that calls Klaus has with the Kodesh Baruch Hu and Neschiva, and we who are in our Sukkah, we invite the Ushbizi and Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Yosef, Moshe, Aaron, David HaMelech. So we're surrounded by all these great people, and what are we sitting reading a newspaper? So if on Yom Kippur it's not Matim, we can understand that. So surely he says in the Sukkah as well. Another idea in this Medrash, that's a Rishon L'Cheshbon Avonos, but actually the question is asked, why Dafka is Sukkot come after Yom Kippur? Right? Really, it symbolizes the Ananei HaKavod, which surrounded Klaisor, or Sukkot Mamish, whatever it might be, which is when they went into the desert, which was after Pesach. So why do we have Sukkot? So, famous question of the Torah, and he gives his answer. I heard a different twist from Avrahamovitz. He says the following, that the Midrash says that whatever Avraham did for the angels when he invited them in to his home, the Klal Yisrael received different things. And one of them was, it says in the Pasuk there, Vishanu Tachas Ha'etz, that he told them to relax underneath the tree, to get some the shade or whatever in the tree. And connected that, Klal Yisrael were given the mitzvah sukkah, because he told the angels to sit underneath the tree. So he brings, there's a Zohar that says that a tree that is used for Avodah Zarah doesn't give shade, doesn't give sail. So Mimele says that why is Sukkot after Yom Kippur? Because the whole Indian of the sukkah is that we should have shape. But if we're involved with all kinds of averas and averas that are domen lavodah zara, etc., so it's likely that our sukkahs aren't going to give shade. They're sukkahs of avodah zara and things. So mele, it's after we did our tshuva on Yom Kippur. So now our sukkahs can give us shade. Mele, that's why we have sukkahs after Yom Kippur. It says there's a pasuk in Yeshayahu, Perek Daled, pasuk Vav. It says Vesuka tiel etzel yoma mechorev ulamachse lemistar mizer mimimatar. And the sukkah will be a shade in the daytime because of the heat, and it'll be a protection and a salvation from zer mimata, from storms and from rain, etc. So the Arugas Abosem says a very nice remez here. Says that the Torah commands us we're not allowed to add or subtract from the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs Hashem gave, we have to keep them, we can't add or subtract. And the Rambam says a farish, and he brings it down, Halacha and Hilchas Mamrim, Perek Beis, Halacha Tesis, Shisira Torah lo tosifa lo tigra mimenu, you can't add or take away from the mitzvahs. Now the mitzvah sukkah has the characteristic that it protects a person and has a segula that it stops a person from adding and subtracting from the Torah, but keeping the Torah exactly as it's supposed to do. That's the school of the sukkah. And there's a remez in this pasuk. Why? It says v'sukkah tiel etzel yomam, etc. And it says it's a protection ulamach elamista from zerem umimata. So how many positive mitzvahs are there in the Torah? There are 248. So the sukkah tiel etzel, it's a machzeh lemistar, it's a protection from zerem and matar. You take the gematria of zerem is 247, and matar is 249. That's one less, 247 one less than the mitzvahs, and 249 is one more than the 248. Mele, the sukkah is a protection from being megareah or being mostly from the Torah. From 247, 249, it keeps a person doing exactly 248, no more nor less. Okay. It says, Pasuk creates Hadar, we're supposed to take an Esra, the cute Maisa. There was once a Talmud Chacham, Gaon, Yerushalayim, that he was very poor, living very, very frugally. But all he cared about was sitting and learning. Now his wife, was most for a while was on his side, but it got to the point where she couldn't take him anymore. And she said, listen, we can't handle it, we don't have food, this, whatever. You gotta do it. But I understand you want to stay in learning 100%, so why don't you use your learning and stay in learning? But so what do you have in mind? So she says, well, why don't you take a job as a rabbanus of the town, whatever. And then you'll make money as a rav, and he goes, okay, still learn, still stay in Torah at least. So he says, okay, he thought about it, and he got back to his wife. He says, okay, I agree, perhaps, but under one condition. He says, what's that? He says, before we, close any deals, I want you to buy me a Mehudar Esrei. A very Mehudar Esrei. Yeah? Okay, if that's all you need, that's all you want, fine. So I don't know how she got the money. I guess she borrowed, because figure he's going to take the job later or whatever. But she got some money, and she bought the most Mehudar Esrei that there is. So, word gets out. And this one, his neighborhood, oh, he got this wonderful Mehudar Esrei, so he came over and he said, can I see it, whatever. And then, before you know it, the whole town heard about this beautiful, beautiful Mehudar Esrei this guy has. And everybody wanted to use it on Sukkot. So, sure enough, first day of Sukkot comes along, line up outside his door, every single male of the town was standing there in line with uses of Esrei. One person, another person, another one. Finally, everybody has his turn. Finishes using the Esrog. Thanked him very much. Turns to his wife and says, you remember the Esrog you bought me? The Sahura? She goes, yeah. So, you remember how it looked? She goes, of course, beautiful, I remember. She says, now, look at it. And she goes, what? He says, yeah, it's all like discolored, and you know, from all the usage, people, this person, that person, whatever, it's all like, it looked terrible. So he said, so what do we see from here? You can have something which is the most mahudardika thing, and it become all gross and disgusting when it gets into the hands of Balabatim, right, that squeeze it or whatever. So he says, that's the mashal. What's the nimshal? So too, you know, fine, I could go and become the Rav, but once I get into the hands of the Balabatim, and they're pressured, they pressure me to do all kinds of things, so that's can be the most mahudra thing, but after being in the hands of the Balabatim, I'm going to end up like this Esra. So maybe you want to think twice about whether I should take this job or not. Says it's a nice remez that first half is from of Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, second half from Rav Nimrav Stemmer, from a pasuk in Tehillim. So the pasuk goes as follows: it's in Perek Samech, pasuk Ches. Pasuk says, Elokim diber bekocho, Eloza achal kashchem ve'emek sukos amaded. Meaning, Elohim, it's a diber bekocho. He spoke through his Holy One. Eloza means to be like happy or exalted, so that I should be exalted. Eloza, achal kashkem, I'll divide Shem, and the valley of Sukkos, emek Sukkos, amaded, I'll measure out. So pasuk until. So Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld found a neat remez to the inyanim of Sukkah. And the words, the second half of the pasuk, achal kashchem, ve'emek sukos amaded. So he says, you take the word shchem, and the pasuk says, achal kashchem, I'll divide shchem. So you take the word shchem, which is shin kaf mem, and you divide the three letters. So what happens if you divide shin into two? It's shin is 300, so it's 150. Kaf into two, kaf is 20, it leaves you with 10. And mem into 2, 40 leaves you with 20. Okay, so you have 150, 10, and 20. Okay, so what's the remez to sukkah? So he says 150. How's the remez? You take the minimum sukkah is 7 by 7 in the length and the width. Height has to be 10 always. All the walls have to be 10. And then you can have a little wall of 1. Okay, so you have 7, 7, and then 1. All being 10 high. Okay, so now you make the cheshbon. You have 7 tfachim by 10 high. That's one wall. 7 by 10 is 7 is how many squared tfachim? 7 times 10 is 70. The other wall has to also be 7 by 10. 7 by 10 is 70 square. It's another 70. And the third one is 1 by 10. That's 10. So we have 70 and 70 and 10. So what's 70 and 70 and 10? 150. So there's your half of shin, which is half of 300 is 150. There's your 150. The half of kaf we said is 10, because the sukkah, as we said, has to be 10 high. Mem is half of 10. Half of mem is 20. So sukkah lamalami esri mama is psula. Highest it can be is 20 amas. That's the mem, half of the mem, which is the 20. And finally, it says ve'imek sukkas amaded. Amaded in gematria is 49. Which, as we said, the sukkah has to be 7 by 7. 7 by 7 is 49 square. Mele, that's amadeh. Adkan, divrei, Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. So, heard from the name of Rav Stemmer, Rav, he says, if this pasuk, the remez in the end over here, the sukkah, this time we can find some remez in the beginning of the pasuk also do a sukkah. So he did so. What is that? He says, the pasuk at the beginning said, Elokim diber bekocho eloza. Now, how do you spell eloza? Aleph, ayin, lamed, zayin, hey. So, what is a remez to? The arba minim. How so? Aleph is esrog. Ayin, next letter, is arava. Lamed is lulav. We'll leave zayin for a minute. And then the last is hey, hadas. So, we should have the first letter of the arba minim, plus a zayin. What's a zayin? So Zion is that you use the Arba meaning for 7 days. What are you going to say? Not true. You only use it 6 days, because one of the days is Shabbos, and you don't use the Arba meaning on Shabbos. However, in the Beis Hamikdash, they used to do it all 7 days, even in the on Shabbos, all seven. How do you know this pasuk is talking about the Beis Hamikdash? Because if you look at the word, when it says Elokim Diber Bekacha Eloza, if you look at the word Bekacha in the Targum over there, the Targum of Bekacha says Beit Mikdashai. It's the Beis Hamikdash. So there's a hint over here to the Beis Hamikdash. And therefore, that's why it's Zion 7 days, not six. Mainly you have all the Arba Minim, and Zion is 7 days of the Arba Minim. Okay. While we're on the topic of Ramazim, it's another neat remez. Says by the Chida, it says Besukos Oshaftis Bnei Israel, and Hashem put us into Sukkos when He took us out of Mitzrayim. So the Chida in a Sefer Simchas HaRegel says that there are three keys in the Mesorah, key like Kafiyot. Okay, one of them is Lo Ki Barachov Nalin. This is by the Malachim when they came to Lot. And he invited him in. He said, "No, we'll stay in the streets." Ki barachov nalin. Second is ki besukos hashavti is bnei Israel. Our pasuk over here, ki besukos hashavti. And finally, ki ner mitzvah v'torah or, because the mitzvah is a ner and the Torah is light. Now, even though there are many keys in the Torah, not just these three, but obviously, therefore, Chazal chose these three as the Mesorah, must mean there's a connection. So what's the connection to these three things? They seem nothing to do with each other. By the Malachim of Lot, and the Sukkos, and the Ner Mitzvah Torah, well, what's the connection? So he says, very nice. Says that it's the remez here is that all these, there are three things which have a minimum shear of 10 and a maximum shear of 20. Okay, and that's the key. Key, how do you spell key? Kafyut. There's a 20 and 10. There's a minimum shear of 10, maximum shear of 20. So now what are they? So we have in Erevin, a mavoy. Right, so the mavoy, this beam that you put at the end of the alleyway, so as a type of mechitza, so the person is allowed to carry inside the mavoy. So a mavoy, it says, the Mishnah says, it's higher than 20 amos is possible. It has, again, minimum 10 tfachim, highest 20 amos, and that's hinted in ki barachov nalin, that we're going to stay in the streets. So that's dealing with streets and alleyways, whatever. So therefore, the key over there is a remez to the mavoy, which is 10 and 20. Then we have number two, ki ner mitzvah Torah, or the other key. Where is that? Ner Chanukah. Same thing. Ner Chanukah, that's higher than 20 amos of psula. It has to be, should be at least 10 tfachim minimum, up to 20, 10, 20. There we have ner mitzvah Torah. Ner, of course, remes to ner Chanukah. And finally, ki besukos hoshavti es b'nei Yisrael. That's another last key, that the sukkah's minimum has to be 10 tfachim high, up to 20 amos. So there's your other key. The three keys that have a minimum 10, maximum 20. Okay. Finally, last little maisa that we hear of the esrogim. Anybody went to buy a esrogim, see on the, you know, the boxes, it says, chazanish. You know, the esrog chazanish. No, what's the pshat? What's put on the chazanish esrog? So the interesting story behind where the Chazanish Esrogim came from. So what happened was Rav Michal Yehuda Lefkowitz Atzal, he lived many, many years in this the same little house on Vilkomir number 4 in Bnei Brak, and just a few years after he was married, he used to daven regularly by the Chazanish for in the morning. So one day the Chazanish calls him aside, brings him into his room, and he says, here, I want to give you something. So he opens up this drawer, which acted as like an ice box, where in those days didn't have refrigerators, whatever. So there's a piece of ice and food, whatever, and he pulls out like a little envelope, whatever, and inside are some seeds. And he said, these are seeds from the esrog that I use on Sukkos. and I want you to take them, plant them, nurture them, and grow esrog treat. And they should have, these I know are not grafted or whatever, it's good. Right? And this will be the, estrogen we'll use. So he didn't exactly, he wasn't, very big, in planting, nurturing. I wasn't, I didn't have a green thumb per se. He was, used his thumb for learning more. But, Chazon Ish tells you to do something, you do it. So he had a little courtyard, in his home. It's a private home, so he had a little courtyard there. So he did so. He planted it, whatever, and his wife took care of it mostly, watering it, fertilizing it, whatever, doing whatever she had to do. And even though he didn't know exactly, and he said to the Chazon Ish, I don't know what to do. He says, don't worry, Hashem Yazor. Okay. So he planted it, and sure enough, grew, and some very nice esrogim grew on it. And so after the, the oral or whatever was finished, the Chazon Ish himself would go to this tree, and used to lie underneath the tree and search and find a beautiful esrog. Suppose that's where he used to get his esrog from Lefkowitz's little courtyard. And as time went on, it just started having more and more fruit, and they had tens of esrogim. And the word got out, it's like the Chazon Ish's, from the Chazon Ish's esrog. And Talmidei Chachamim used to come before Sukkot every year and ask if they can, to pick an esrog. And Rav Lefkowitz says, please, Simcha, he thought of his l'schus, the Mitzaka the Rabbim, with these kosher esrogim. And Talmidei Chachamim used to come and pick these esrogim and talk Torah, whatever, all the time. And so this continued for many years. And these were the esrogim that the Chazon Ish used to use also, as we said. So after a time, somebody had an idea and said, why should we limit it to these esrogim over here in this little chatzer? Let's take a cutting from the tree, plant it elsewhere, and then it's still called from the same source, And they approached Rav Lefkowitz and they said, can we take a cutting from this tree and plant it? He said, please, again, you want the Zaka the Rabbi, my pleasure. And they started taking cuttings from these trees. And they planted in different places, etc. And that's how it became as we have today, the Chazon Ish esrogim. From these cuttings from this tree, they were all over the place now. They use, and all the famous esrogim come from these cuttings from this tree. What is interesting, though, as a postscript, is some apelidika thing. What happened? So there used to be, many many esrogim were in this courtyard for men. And Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Shlita, he also take from this from Dafka from the Chatzer of Rav Lefkowitz. As we know, recently, not too long ago, Rav Lefkowitz was nifter, and wouldn't you know it? After he was nifter, the summer came along, and by I don't say miraculous. You know, when you say miraculous, something positive, but there were no esrogim. After he was nifter, and there was always like hundreds of esrogim in the courtyard. After he was nifter, they disappeared. There were no more esrogim. They just wasn't giving fruit. The trees weren't giving fruit. So he was, it's terrible. So they went to his kever, and the people davened by the kever of the Chazon Ish and the Rav Lefkowitz. And sure enough, after davening a lot by the kfarim, slowly but surely the trees started coming back and started giving fruit again. So we should all be zoicha to see many, many miracles and to partake of the Suda of the Leviathan, Levios Kol Tzedek, Bimhera Yameinu. Amen.